Kate Sheehan's in the studio. Hello, Kate.
Hi, Kevin. How are you going?
Good. How are you? How's training with the Collingwood Footy Club going?
Excellent. It's a bit wet outside, though. I'm not looking forward to that.
Now, we just had that conversation. You don't like the wet and the cold and the football conditions.
No, it's not the wet so much. It's the cold. I love being warm. I love the sun out.
Yeah, I don't like being cooked. I don't like being too hot. But I do, and after we had this conversation, I remembered how much I used to hate cricket training when it was cold and your fingers would be cold and you could feel them when the ball hit them because you were in agonising pain. But, yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, when you're doing lots of handball drills and stuff, cold hands wouldn't be the best.
Well, I'm really pleased that the AFL Women's League is running through summer because I don't have to worry about that at all.
And we spoke to the Carlton coach earlier. Who'll be your nemesis on the 3rd of February when the two teams meet for the first game of the season.
We can't wait for that.
And has training stepped up a notch in the last... I mean, we had you on, about a week and a bit ago, so has training stepped up in that last week and a bit?
No, but the focus might be slightly different, just with the physical preparation, not tapering. We're still working our butts off, but elite environment, the training will be different when you're 3 weeks out from matches, and it's been good. The feel around the place is really exciting, and the girls just can't wait. I know I say it every time, but the atmosphere is electric.
Everyone is pumped about it. I must admit, the expectations are really high. At some stage, you've got to sort of think about that. That's going to flash into your head.
What do you mean by the expectations are high? What parts?
I think we're expecting to be entertained by it. We're expecting to be engaged with it.
Because
we've all got a team. The Bulldogs are running around with a team, and Collingwood, Carlton, and all that. And I think it's an extension of where we're at as football supporters now.
Yeah.
Everyone talked about it, and earlier today when we spoke to Damien Keeping, you talk about it a lot. That entire club, that whole club mentality, that it is, one or two teams or three teams, in your case with the netball as well, being lumped into it. And I talked to Eddie the other day about the whole thing. I think it's that this is the extension of our football life is, as a Bulldogs person, I'm going to go and barrack for the Bulldogs women's team. And I expect to enjoy that and get something out of it and be engaged with it.
Yeah, I think the engagement will be high because you've got... each team and every player on each team is just raring to go.
Yep.
So you'll see so many girls out there who just can't wait to get a crack at it. And that's what I mean by excitement. You can't fast track skill acquisition. That'll happen and that will grow. But in terms of everyone looking forward to seeing what we're going to produce, I think that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, I think that's what... I think you're right. I think that's what everyone is excited about. But yeah, really interesting to see how it... sort of comes together and then so quick.
Well, down at Collingwood, we've got the Australian Open on across the road at the moment. So there's a lot of traffic around, and even when the Australian Open's on, there's a lot of excitement in Melbourne. So for that to be directly across the road, and then obviously Melbourne Football Club are at Amy Park and they're there. So there's so much happening.
They're playing tonight. The tennis part of it I also wanted to talk to you about, because you're a former tennis coach.
Still coaching.
Oh, sorry.
Remember, the league's not...
Sorry, I pensioned.
We still have to work.
No. Well, I was going to say professional tennis coach.
Yep.
Do you watch the tennis different to the way I watch the tennis? Do you get a different enjoyment out of watching it because you probably know more about and understand more about what they're doing, whereas I just watch it as a game?
Yeah, I watch it a little differently now because I feel as though I know a lot of the players that I'm watching. So at the Kooyong Classic, we watched Andrew Whittington the other day, and he's a local Williamstown boy, and he's worked for me. And it's really nice to see him get a crack at it. He's, sort of come on a little bit later. He was an AIS scholarship holder, but went back and did, some... work with a private coach there for a while, and it's really lovely to see him come of age, I suspect.
Yeah.
And then Destiny, everyone calls her Ava, but I knew her as Destiny Ava.
We've been told the pronunciation is Iava.
Well, yeah, she's... well, they know it's her name. She was in a squad that I coached in at Melbourne Park a couple of years ago as a 7-8-year-old. So to see her now...
A 7 or 8-year-old Kate?
Yeah, but I mean, she was a jet back then. She was just...
Really?
Yeah, a really well-taught... real young professional, but even it, at that age.
Is it her mum who's not, her background is not tennis? Who's
neither of her parents have a tennis background.
Yeah, and who's now coaching, and sort of is learning, has the tennis coaching manual out in the corner of the thing looking
is
up.
Is there a manual? Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Page 32, where are we here?
I suspect that the years in the game, and they've spent a lot of time with Tennis Australia and Tennis Victoria, so they would have just picked up stuff along the way, and they'll have help. Tennis Australia will be helping them. You know, I know Nicole Pratt would be helping Destiny's mum, Rosie, and the other people involved in the Stoltenbergs have had a huge influence on her tennis career. Yeah, so Jason's wife coached her for a long time. So she can't help but, you know, picked up a bit along the way.
I had Richard Fromberg on earlier in the week having a chat about, you know, his reminiscences about that. And he these days and his wife run some coaching down at in the Brighton Hampton kind of area. 4 to 10 year olds. You just mentioned 7 year olds.
Yeah.
When is too? Is there too? Is there a too early button?
It depends on the intensity of the session. Like if I was to take my son Will out for a hit.
How old's Will?
He's 6.
Yep.
Is that a problem?
No.
Exactly. So if we've got
absolutely
kids
not no
participating,
want him out there.
Like I heard you speak to Justin Crowe earlier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was saying that a lot of our athletes don't have those fundamentals yet because, you know, kids are spending time on iPads and doing different things and not necessarily out playing as much sport as what maybe, you know, those in their 30s and 40s were doing when we were younger.
Is that by choice? That the kids aren't doing. I mean, I've got obviously an 11-year-old who lives for lunchtime.
Yeah, yeah.
Not because he wants to eat his sandwich that he's made every morning. He lives for lunchtime because he goes out and plays soccer with his mates. That's what all he wants to do.
Yeah, I think it's really personal. I think what the
but there's probably 10 other kids who sit on their iPad
exactly.
And don't do anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of iPad activity going on, and I do think that's detracting from some of those skills that young kids need to have. I'll speak specifically on tennis, but if you want to be a good server in tennis, you need to be able to throw really, really well. Now, if you don't have that element, it doesn't make it very easy. So if the kids aren't out in the backyard throwing tennis balls around and breaking windows with rocks, how are we going to have a good serve? That's what I did.
There you go. There's the headline. Kate Sheehan says children should be out breaking windows with rocks.
Not at all. I don't condone that behaviour. And if Will did it, well, it'd be in big strife.
Yeah. I wonder sometimes if we don't do... Having a hit is a different thing to having a tennis lesson.
Well, that's what I mean about the intensity. If you're out having an enjoyable time with your child, or even if the coach is out having an enjoyable time, you'll cry when I tell you this, but I coach a young boy who he's only just turned 4. So he was 3 and he's
righto.
Well, this isn't abnormal, by the way. And he travels from, you know, probably 30 Ks away. And he's a real little star. He's a very good little player. But I ensure that the session is all about fun and enjoyment.
Yeah.
And there's learning hidden in that. It's not about the learning. It's about the fun and enjoyment.
Yep.
As long as there's learning within it.
Is it about the skills and about all those things? It's not about matches and results and winning and all those sorts
no,
of
no.
things?
No, no. Well, he can't play matches yet because he can't serve from the baseline.
Oh, what's wrong with him? Four can't serve?
He can't serve.
Tell him to lift his game.
Well, he's a terrific little boy. And, you know, I think his parents have acknowledged that coming down to the courts in Williamstown is what makes him happy.
Okay.
So if that's what makes him happy and that's what keeps him playing,
yeah.
Well, I would say in terms of the coaching element of it, if there's a big thing glaring you in the face, like he's swinging from high to low as opposed to low to high, you'll fix that and you'll help him, but you'll make sure it's done in a safe environment and that the kid's not feeling as though they're in trouble or they're doing the wrong thing.
Have you seen that line where it goes from being fun to being everybody, I'm actually good at this, but everybody thinks that I'm going to be good enough to win tournaments, make
absolutely.
Money and be that, and I'm not sure that that's what I want to do?
Yeah, I've seen that firsthand, and I think that was a bit of a wake-up call for me as a coach that you need to, these kids are still very young,
yep.
And at 10, they don't need to know what they want to do. They just need to enjoy it. They need to learn. They need a pathway that's safe and secure, both physically and emotionally. And I think when we place too much stress and pressure on them too young, it has a massive effect on the outcome.
Yeah.
And then they're playing tournaments at that age already. So you can't get away from that. That's just how
the
sport is.
So when they play tournaments in tennis, what age?
oh, you can be seven if you're good enough to
really?
Play in an under-12s tournament. Well, that's what Destiny was doing.
Do you subscribe to the theory which they're doing in footy and a lot of other sports now where there's no scoreboard?
No, I don't.
You
no.
think there should be a scoreboard? If you're going to play, there should be a scoreboard?
Just speaking
yeah,
from
no,
my
no,
own
your personal point of view.
I loved knowing if I won or lost. That's a competitive part of me. I'm very competitive.
Yeah.
Sometimes to my detriment.
Yeah.
But I think everyone knows anyway who's won or lost.
The point I spoke to Emma Carney, and she's talking about her child, exactly the same thing. Whether there's a scoreboard or not, the kids know already. It's like the under-10 football. Don't worry about not having a scoreboard because the kids will tell you the score
they
at quarter-time,
many...
half-time, three-quarter-time,
exactly.
the end of the game.
I know how many kicks I've got. I know how many times I've kicked a goal and kicked a behind. So that's a bit of a false reality in my mind because in real life, things are black and white.
Do you reckon it hurts kids, though? Does it hurt kids to have that win-loss thing put on them at a young age? And I suppose everyone's different. When I was a kid, I wanted to win, and then win again.
Yeah.
But there are other kids who it didn't mean that much to. You could tell that.
I think maybe team sports, it's a little bit different to individual sports because you surround yourself with teammates so you can wear the wins and losses differently. With an individual sport, it's all on your shoulders.
Yeah.
So maybe it is a bit harder in tennis and not so much in a basketball or a footy. But again, it comes back to reality. I think for me, it's how you deal with it after the fact and the emphasis from the parents and the coaches and the environment.
Yep.
If you've given your best, you've tried your hardest, sometimes you're not going to win. And that's just a fact of life.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Always believe in your soul. It's one of those things where there's a sports station and a music station ready to burst out somewhere.
Interesting song, I say.
A bit of Spandau. Oh, I don't like the Spandau Ballet. Kate Sheehan.
Wouldn't have been my choice.
what's Kate Sheehan's musical? Let's do a little player profile like I used to do in the old footy record back in the day. The old rock and roll column in the footy record. Musical tastes?
I like the Foo Fighters. I like U2. I like to mix it up with a bit of Missy Higgins.
Okay.
Quite an eclectic.
Interesting iPod selections.
Yeah. Very happy with this.
Right.
She's playing at Melbourne Park, actually, on Sunday
night.
Saw
a photo in the paper yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's very, very talented. Very talented girl.
She's a local girl, too. Geelong
Grammar
girl.
Yeah, exactly. The Sheehan connection at Geelong Grammar, is it? Is that how? Is that the Paul
Sheehan? It's a distant connection.
Is Paul your uncle?
Paul is my father's cousin.
Okay. Yeah. Had Paul on. Start of last week, was it, boys? We had Paul Sheehan on?
He's one of my favourites, Paul.
Ah, he's brilliant.
Very funny man.
Brilliant, great man, and one of the great speakers. Really good talker.
Yeah.
Really good interview.
Handy cricketer, too.
Oh, could play. Could he ever? It's on sen.com.au if you want to ever listen to the interview I did with Paul. I thought it was a terrific interview. I loved it. He enjoyed it, too. Now, favourite movie? We're doing the
movie.
Rock and roll profile.
Point Break.
Oh, you can't. Your favourite, see... That's the thing.
I love surfing. What's wrong with that?
When you do these things with people and they go into things like the footy record, this is your audition to go in the footy record.
What's wrong with Point Break?
Point Break. People will laugh. They all laughed at people.
You
laugh
know what?
At
people
you.
Are laughing at me anyway.
Everyone knows that footballers, if you're a proper footballer, Kate, Shawshank Redemption.
You know, it came to mind and I was like, that's way too predictable.
Every football favourite movie, Shawshank Redemption.
Actually, well, I'll tell you a different one, which is along those lines, The Power of One. I love that movie.
Off the Bryce Courtney book.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, go with that one. Foo Fighters, U2, Missy Higgins, that's fine. That's good. Okay. Favourite TV show?
A few. Can I name a
few? Yeah, you can name a few.
I really like Seinfeld.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, but that's cliche too.
What do you think these things are?
You know, it's true. I've just discovered Homeland and holy moly, I was addicted.
Are you gone from the first series?
Yeah, on Netflix.
The redheaded...
Brody.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Just couldn't stop watching.
Who has the most unbelievable English accent in real life?
Oh, really?
He is a pom.
No, he looks like one, though.
Yeah, he does. But he's like the bloke who played House.
Is he British too? I don't watch
Hello,
House.
Kate.
Sorry.
Hugh Laurie. Hugh Laurie's English.
Soap stars aren't my thing.
It's not a soap. Oh, well. No, Homeland's fantastic. All right, so you got Homeland. Yeah, go on. Seinfeld,
yep. Entourage.
Yeah, okay. See, good. All good choices.
You've got me on the spot, Kevin.
Favourite. Well, that's what you've got to do with these things. Favourite holiday destination.
Mix between Bowen Heads and Sorrento.
Yeah, see, perfect. So you've done well. You've done your profile for the footy. It's done. Incidentally, we'll just dial that in to someone who writes Slattery Media, whoever do the footy records. We'll just get them to do that. Yours is done. Easy as.
Impressed or not?
I don't know. Nickname. You have to do nickname, I think. I think that's part of it these days.
Yeah. I don't really... Look, my friends at school have a nickname for me. But I don't really have one in a sporting context.
Right. What was the one the friends at school gave you?
She-dog. It's really bad.
She-dog. That is ordinary.
Yeah.
That didn't. That
Dad calls it to me too.
Wasn't a lot of thought went into that one.
Oh, well, what do you do with Kate?
Not
and what
lot.
Do you do with Sheehan?
Not a lot. Not a lot. But I reckon by about the fourth week of our new breakfast program, something to do with The Godfather is going to be popping up. Something to do with The Godfather is going to be popping up in your life.
This is true.
Just has to happen. I've got a couple more for you. Have a think about them. Favourite food and drink.
Okay.
That's coming up. Because you've got to find out what's going on in the cricket.
An Australia-Pakistan one-day international update.
Chrome Smokey Dawson. What's happening, Smoke?
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, everyone, that's the footballer's movie.
Commentators as well.
Yeah,
it's the best movie ever made.
Oh, it's a very good film. I reckon I did maybe 70 of those footy profile things back in the sort of early to mid-80s. I reckon there was 60 Shawshank Redemptions in there.
Well, your mate, how many did you say he's going to make?
80. He's good for 80.
Well, he's 53 at the moment.
What I mean by that is, right, put 80 down and you'll get that, and then whatever he gets on top of that's bonus.
Well, and the partnership is easily the best for the innings, with 73 so far added for the sixth wicket.
Ah.
Your man has just got some more runs as he swings one down to deep backward square. He's played a couple of superb reverse sweeps. You know that sometimes they're not my cup of tea, but
no.
The execution was impeccable.
Oh, that's the nature of that shot. It can make you look like a genius or make you look like a
Correct.
Goose.
54 to Maxwell, 28 to Wade. Two balls remaining in the 30th over, and it's 5 for 153.
A beautiful thing, Graham Smokey Dawson.
Thank you. I'll go back to Shawshank Redemption.
Fair, and I'll come up with another one, Smoke. By the time we come back, do you come up with a different one? An alternate to Shawshank Redemption. Kate could do it. You
The
could
Godfather.
Do it. Yeah.
Haven't seen it.
Good film. Godfather 2 is the best of them, though. There you go.
SEN Summer of Cricket for High and Mighty. Big and Tall, they've got you covered this summer. And Kangan Institute. Real education, real skills, real jobs. Kangan.edu.au.
We'll get a tennis update from Brett Phillips shortly. Brad off the SMS is the original Point Break.
Of course.
They actually did it. They actually did another version
of it. That's how high quality the film was.
Was the original Keanu Reeves?
Yes.
Was that the one where they jumped out of the plane?
Yep,
and
yeah.
And
skydived, yeah. With the American president's masks on.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, no, you've definitely got to get a different one there.
And then they had the fake Bell's Beach scene at the end. Remember with that wave?
You're saying that to me like I've watched it.
We're jumping out of the plane.
I knew that bit. That was in all the promos.
I thought we had a moment, Kevin.
No,
come on.
No, not a chance, Kate. No, dearie me. Point Break. No. Break Point for me, maybe. I don't know about anything else. Food?
Oh, I'm a big coffee snob.
Food?
Oh, food. Sorry. I love
Gotta get them in order, Kate.
Sorry. I love a good salad.
Okay.
That's really boring, but I love salad.
Oh, I know. I love salad too. What dressing then?
Balsamic.
Oh, yeah.
But steak, actually. Give me a steak any day.
Oh, yeah. No, steak and salad.
Well, perfect combination.
How do you like your steak done? Don't tell me medium.
Well done.
Good. Oh, we've just had a moment.
Dad's from Werribee. Come on.
Of course. So am I. So I want hope.
In fact, we grew up with chops,
yeah.
Boiled potatoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some other rotten vegetable that we'd put in the fish tank.
What do you mean you put in the fish tank?
We didn't want to eat it, so we
just
threw it
into the fish tank.
Big fish tank too.
What was, What was the survival rate of fish in your house? Not obviously very high.
We'd rather eat the fish than the vegetables.
Yeah, dearie me. And coffee, obviously, is your favourite drink.
Yeah, I love a coffee in the morning.
Are you a skinny milk person?
No, I'm not. I'm full cream.
I've developed this thing for skinny milk.
It's normally the opposite. You start on skinny and go to full because you realise skinny's got no flavour.
Skinny's fantastic. It lets the coffee. The coffee then is the king.
You know, it's really personal. It's a bit like a red wine. Like, I really enjoy red wine. I'm not drinking it at the moment. But you're either a Shiraz or something else. You know, it's a very personal thing, I think.
Never drink it. I drank it once and made me really ill. So yeah. I've never had it since.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll get a tennis update from Brett Phillips. Oh, I'm rubbing off on you,
Kevin.
Oh, I'm thinking of a well-done steak and a salad right now. Hungry as a horse.
To make it better.
It is 17:05 here at 11:16 SEN Summer Sports Central. Kate Sheehan's in the studio with me, and Brett Phillips will join us shortly with a tennis update. But before all that...
An Australia-Pakistan one-day international update.
Graham Smokey Dawson, another wicket at the Gabba.
Your man's gone, unfortunately, for Australia. Kev, Mr. Maxwell caught by Mohammad Hafeez at mid-on off Hassan Ali for 60. Oh, okay. 56 balls, 7-4 is a very good knock. Matthew Wade, 28. And we'll be joined after they finish the drinks by James Faulkner. 6-160 Australia after 31 overs.
SEN Summer of Cricket for High and Mighty. Big and Tall, they've got you covered this summer. And Kangan Institute. Real education, real skills, real jobs. Kangan.edu.au.
16:05, Kate Chance in the studio with me, and time now for a summer of tennis update. Kate, you're into this at a million miles now, thanks to Jets Fitness, the 24/7 gym where you can work out on your terms. They have low fees, no lock-in contracts. Head to jets.com.au. Let's head to Brett Phillips.
Fair bit of rain, guys.
Yes.
The qualies, Kate, you know all about this, and having a lot to do with Dasher, of course, and life inside the tennis bubble. A lot of sitting around the player cafe right now.
Nothing worse than that. Seriously, it's just really frustrating, and you kill so much energy waiting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Olivia Rogoska got through while there was no rain earlier today. Good result for Olivia, who, you know, was almost inside their top 100, got about 108, resides in St Kilda when she is here in Australia, which isn't too often. And then sort of, I suppose, stagnated a little, went back, went 11-9 in the first round of the qualies yesterday, got through 6-2 in the third. Today against her Romanian opponent, so fingers crossed she can get through to an Australian Open main draw.
That'd be huge for her. She's 25 now?
Yeah, 25 and, you know, a bit more mature, I suppose, a bit more seasoned. Hopefully the best might be yet to come. I think the average age in the top 100 of the women is 26 at the moment, so peaking a little bit later. But she got through. Matthew Ebden went out today, which is disappointing for Matty, former top 60 player, but injuries have certainly... curtailed his career the last couple of years. And we're still waiting for Blake Mott, Brad Mousley, Alex Spalt, the left-hander, and Ellen Perez, who's a good little story.
She is. She's a super talent, Ellen. Currently studying at Georgia in America.
Yeah.
Left-hander, really crafty, like typically like most lefties. Mm. There's not much she can't do. And she's a big personality.
Yeah, and going down the college route, which I know Paul Aitken, who co-hosts the first, is a massive fan of that.
Yeah, no, Paul is a massive fan. Why has it not produced a truckload of top players out of the college system?
There's been some good players come out of there. The Bryan brothers, they both went to, I think, Stanford. James Blake was at Harvard.
John Isner's gone through college.
Isner was at college. I don't know which one he was at.
Yeah, look, it's interesting. We just had a chat with Patrick Mouratoglou, which we're going to bring you after 6 o'clock, the coach of Serena Williams, and we had 35 minutes with Patrick, so we might play that in a couple of parts over the next 2 nights, just talking about his tennis philosophies. And it's interesting because I had Jolanta Dokić on the show last night and did some commentary with her yesterday, and we're sort of asking her, you know, now that you have had time to reflect, did you maybe, you know, come onto the scene too young? Was it all a bit too much? And Patrick's, she sort of thought, okay, I'm ready to play, and I can compete with some of these, you know, more match condition players. And Patrick's theory was, well, if you're ready to go, you're ready to go. He doesn't believe age is a factor. I suppose some would maybe disagree. And the WTA's changed their rules a little bit, and they don't allow you to enter so many tournaments now, so they're trying to stifle you from coming in too early so that you can, you know, maybe peak around that sort of mid-20s and play into your 30s.
And it just gives a pathway for those that have started a little later. and hitting their straps a bit later.
Yep.
And who aren't quite ready for it yet. Like Alan might come out of college and, you know, and be ready to go and had that, you know, she had a few injuries before she went to college. So now it could have been four years where she gets her body right.
The only bad cop on that one is if you've got a 16-year-old who's ready to go and is probably going to be finished anyway at 18, why wouldn't you let him go at 16?
Well, that's right. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to believe now that Martina Hingis, you know, won an Australian Open at 16. I mean, I don't think it'll ever, ever happen again.
No, I think power's too big. The way it's been set up now. Yeah.
We have action in Sydney. There is good weather in Sydney, which is good news. Semi-final day for the men, and Gilles Smuller, the left-hander, who knocked out Matthew Barton, the Aussie, in the second round, has taken the first set 6-3 against the man who features on our first serve show every night as our unforced error, because Viktor Troitsky had a couple of meltdowns last year. So he gets a run on our show every night, one that is highly emotional, Viktor, and of course won the Sydney tournament 12 months ago. So he might be knocked out. Daniel Evans, the young man from Great Britain, once the wild boy of British tennis, now, you know, a pretty solid player. And I think a lot of these players underneath Andy Murray, I think Murray's been a great influence, bringing them into the Davis Cup sort of team and really pushing them. Come on, you've got an opportunity here to make the best of your careers and don't waste it. He takes on Kuznetsov tonight, and I'm looking forward to the women's final. Joanna Konda, wouldn't mind AUS in brackets next to her name, because
that'd be lovely.
That was the case. She resided in Sydney and she plays Agnieszka Radwanska tonight, and Konda on fire last night against Bouchard.
Jeez, she's good, I tell you. She's a little bit unpredictable on her serve, but wow, she got power.
Outstanding.
All right. Back at, you got more?
Well, I got one for you, right? So Kiki Bertens was the top seed in Hobart.
Right.
And then Kiki Bertens was knocked out yesterday by Elise Mertens. So it was curtains for Bertens.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah,
that headline's
been
running.
Working on that one.
It's been running in the Mercury down in Hobart today. And then Elise Mertens has gone on. The qualifier might win the tournament. I think the last one to win Hobart was Garbine Muguruza when she was a qualifier. And now she's gone on to be a French Open champion. She's got through, but Monica Niculescu will get through tonight. The crafty sliced forehand.
Tongue twisters in that draw.
No, because Lucia Cerenko, who's now been drawn to play the number one player in the world, Angelique Kerber, in the first round, has pulled out. Not because of seeing Kerber against her name, but she had a viral infection during the week. But disappointing for Hobart.
Oh,
they've really copped it this year.
So that's a big anti-climax now.
Well, they would have sold tickets semi-final night, and they've had a lot of players pull out, but that's just the way it goes. The week before the Australian Open, a lot of players want to be cherry ripe, ready for the Grand Slam.
But Kate Sheehan is in the studio. You've got to go to training.
I do.
What's on the training agenda tonight down at the Collingwood women's team? Do you know?
If I knew, I wouldn't tell you.
You would, so. You clearly don't know.
We are preparing.
No idea. What's
How's my
going
preparation?
On?
No, we're just preparing for our practice match on the 26th.
Have you been having game simulation and all that sort of stuff? Are you doing practice matches?
Oh, we're doing lots of stuff. Lots of practice around, you know.
But are you hitting one another yet?
Oh, well, you'll have to come down and watch, Kevin.
Well,
if I say anything, I'm going to get in
training,
trouble.
Is it closed training?
No, not at all.
Oh, you get fined?
No, girls got
fines in place for all the
we
things
We have fines
say?
For funny stuff, which is always good. One of my teammates, Ruby, always gets fined. And last night at the team dinner, it was towards the end of the fines, and she tapped Emma King on the shoulder and she said, it's the first one I haven't been fined for, and then she got read out.
Oh,
so she got
gone
stitched
bang.
Up. No, but we have our practice match against Western Bulldogs at the Holden Centre on Australia Day, starting at 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
So if you want to see the stars in action, get down and have a look.
Ah, very good.
And it'll be great because the Australian Open's on, as we said, and heaps of foot traffic. And yeah, everyone gets to look at it.
I think it's a soccer game. I think Victory are playing Sydney at Amy Park. Is it at Etihad? That's an Etihad game, I think, yeah. Now, we've got a nickname for you.
What is it?
It's The Difference. So, you know, when everything's going along and, you know, you're just...
Is that a good or a bad thing, Kevin?
Well, I think it's a good thing. The team's just, you know, meandering along and not much going. Bring on Kate Sheehan because she's the difference.
I better make a difference.
It's all this newfangled sort of nickname thing where you got to be the package or the difference.
It'd be nice if I was the package.
Let's be
Jakey Stringer.
Let's be honest. Anything we could come up with would be better than She-Dog. Like, seriously.
I know, it doesn't fit, does it?
No, it's not quite. And I'm sure you'll get one. I'm sure you've got to have a nickname because you can't just be calling that Kate.
Half the time, I don't think the girls know what to call out. I just say, here.
What, has Moana got a nickname?
I just call her Mo.
Oh, Mo. Okay, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yep. Keep it simple.
Yeah. No. Well, that's the best thing about nicknames, should be simple or they should be catchy.
They've got to roll off the tongue. And yes. If they don't roll off the tongue, we're trying too hard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've got to be a little bit clever too, rather than just KD or, you know, Kevy or just the IE on the end of everything just doesn't work for me. Have a good training session.
Thanks, Kevin.
Who's your tip for the Oz Open?
Serena's always good. Novak, how can you beat him?
Okay.
Sorry, well, that's so boring.
Gee, I know. You know what? You're probably right, though.
Joanna Kontar is, you know, she's a superstar.
He'd be your Smokey?
Don't know, but I really hope Dash does well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Enjoy training.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
We'll see you again soon. Kate Sheehan in the studio with me.